Appointment with Fear. We present Celia Johnson as Anne in Morning Glory by Charlotte and Dennis Plimmer.
May the 5th. My cottage. Dawn. Dear Agnes, when you sent me that cassette, and what a thrill to hear my own sister's voice from New Zealand after so many years, I too decided the letters were old-fashioned. So I bought a tape recorder. Picture me then, here, alone, in my garden near the Thames, with 40 years of school teaching behind me, and all around, the songs of birds, the dawn chorus. It's really heavenly. Listen. The trouble is the mist. One of those springtime mists, remember, that roll up from the river early in the morning. I can scarcely see half a dozen yards, even though the sun is trying to shine through. It's really rather eerie. What is it, Sam? Him again.
You! You out there, who are you? What do you want? This is my garden. It's private property. Go away. Do you hear me? Go away. Go away, go away. Go away. Go away.
I can't stand it much longer, Virginia. I simply can't stand it. Why does he keep haunting me?
When did you first see him, Anne?
More than a week ago, at dusk, down by the orchard.
You should have told me sooner. After all, that's what neighbors are for.
I didn't want to trouble you. And at first, well, I thought I was imagining things.
Tell me, what does he look like?
I don't know, really. He only comes in the morning when it's misty, or at twilight. He's more a form than a definite shape. And tall, I think, and big, you know, broad. It's hard to be sure.
Has he ever spoken to you?
No, never. He just stands there. And I suppose he stares.
And then?
Then he simply seems to melt away.
And, maybe you are imagining him.
Not this morning, I wasn't. I spoke to him. I had my tape recorder on. Now listen.
You out there, who are you? What do you want? This is my garden. It's private property. Go away. Do you hear me? Go away.
Anne, dear, I've never heard you sound like... Did he run away?
I don't know, because I ran away. And Sam, too. He was as frightened as I was. His tail bristled. Oh, forgive me for sounding hysterical, but I ran inside and locked the door. You know, Virginia, sometimes when he appears like that, I almost wish he would speak. At least I know he was flesh and blood, and then I wonder, would he sound like a man? Or would he sound like a ghost?
Living all alone isn't easy. You're not used to it, you know.
That's not it. I've lived by myself ever since I was a girl, as soon as I took my teaching degree.
But that was in a city. You haven't been back in the country very long. What is it now? 4 months? 5? Look, why don't you come and stay with us for a few days?
Oh, you're very sweet, Virginia, but no, I wouldn't dream of disturbing you and George. Besides, I don't intend to be forced out of my home. After all these years of saving and dreaming of having my own cottage, no. I'll be all right. Virginia, I'm not just seeing things. There is someone.
All right. Suppose there is a man. Then who is he? A worker from one of the farms?
What's he doing in my garden? Oh, now, hold on a minute. I want to show you something. Look. It's a packet of morning glory seed. I've found it on my doorstep.
On your doorstep?
At first I thought maybe you'd left it. You've been so kind about bringing me cuttings and things. And then I remembered. I told you how I feel about morning glories. They depress me so. Born fresh each morning and dead by sunset. Such a sad, short life. And then, now, look at this.
British Birds. Oh, what a lovely book.
I didn't buy either of those things, Virginia. I found them, both of them, lying at my door.
What makes you think they have anything to do with him?
Well, who else? I haven't got any friends here, only you and George. Besides, if anyone I knew wanted to give me a present, they'd come and hand it to me, wouldn't they? Or leave a note. But this, it's like his visits. Secret and furtive and unnatural.
Anne, dear, if you are frightened, we're only a few hundred yards down the road. I'm nearly always home. But, oh, Bobber, I've just remembered. George thinks he may have to go to Amsterdam for the firm. He wants me to go with him.
Oh, when?
I'm not sure. Probably in the next few days, but not for long. Anne, dear, do you know what I'd do if I were you? I'd talk this over with the police.
Yes, Miss Howard, I can see your problem. You are rather isolated out here. There's only Mr. and Mrs. Price. And beyond them, just those few houseboats along the towpath. Locks on your doors and windows, are you all secure?
Oh, yes, yes. I had them put on when I bought the place. But he hasn't tried to break in. At least, not as far as I know.
Well, that's the difficulty in a way. It's funny, the law. You see, if he had, we'd have something to take action about.
But he does keep trespassing on my property. Isn't that actionable?
Oh, no, it's not, I'm afraid. Trespass isn't a crime. It's a matter for the civil courts. Now, if he caused any damage or made off with anything...
No, nothing like that. He's just there. Isn't it a criminal offence to persecute someone?
He might merely be crossing a corner of your garden as a shortcut. No, I'm sorry, but I can't see that any harm's been done. You know, it's odd, Miss Howard, but when there's a prowler about, he doesn't usually stick to the one place. He tends to roam a bit. And we haven't received any other complaints.
But there's proof that he has been here. What about the seeds and the book?
Well, again, they haven't caused you any harm. Miss Howard, living on your own, well, do you have any relatives?
Only a niece up in Scotland and a sister in New Zealand.
Well, perhaps. I'm not quite certain how to put this, Miss Howard, but perhaps you might be better off living with other people. There's some very nice places.
Yes. Well, it was good of you to come this evening, Sergeant Robinson. I'm most grateful. But if you're trying to say that I should go into a home or something with a lot of other dreary old ladies, then I'm sorry. I'm not ready to give everything up. Not quite.
Oh, no, of course not. Well, I wish I could do more to ease your mind, but... Well, if you're worried again, don't hesitate to get in touch.
Oh, Sam, isn't it a perfect morning? Now, we mustn't let Agnes know we're worried, must we, Sam? We'll just start a new tape for her as though nothing had happened. Now, dear Agnes, it's May the 6th and such a lovely spring. I'm sitting in the garden. Tulips are perfect and the broccoli and spring cabbage are coming along nicely. I wish you could see it all. You remember our garden at home when we were girls? And Father used to read poetry to us? Then suddenly you were married and gone away. And I was teaching. After that, how quickly the years slipped by. What did those grubby children up in Birmingham really think of the funny grey-haired teacher who used to be me? So prim. Now, boys and girls, pay attention. Mr. Browning wrote this. Mr. Robert Browning. Listen, children, and picture yourselves in a garden. The years of the spring, the days of the morn, mornings of the seven, the hillsides, super... Sam! Oh, Sam, what are you doing? Sam, leave that bird alone. Drop it. Oh, Sam. Sam. You've killed it. Oh, Sam.
I think you're letting things get on top of you a bit. Cats do kill birds, and people do wander into other people's gardens. Tell me, is there anything that's nagging at you? Well, from, well, I don't know, maybe years ago. We've all had something in our past. Even me.
No. Nothing like that. Nothing at all. No romances. No enemies. No adventures. One trip to Italy, to Florence, ages ago. I wanted to see where the Brownings had lived. I used to have a silly ambition that one day I'd write a book about them, Robert and Elizabeth. Oh, they were so passionate, so alive. He wrote to her, "I love your verses with all my heart, dear Miss Barrett, and I love you too." I studied their letters until I almost knew them by heart. Oh, Virginia, I did try so hard to write the book. Somehow the proper words never came. And then one day, I remember it was cold and the rain was drifting. That day, I suddenly saw what was wrong. And it had taken only two lines of his verse to tell me. Do you remember this? "We have not sighed deep, laughed free, starved, feasted, despaired, been happy." Well, that, you see, was my problem. I hadn't done any of those things. So, I put my few chapters away, and I've never tried since. Oh, it doesn't matter anymore. Lots of people try to write books and can't. But I went to Florence, and I found the place where they'd lived. I stood on the opposite pavement and stared up at the windows. That's been my life, Virginia. All of my life. Standing on the pavement, looking up at other people's windows. Well, I must be getting back to my cottage.
Why shouldn't you finish it now?
The book? Oh, no, no. Besides, this way it is finished. In my mind, I mean. I assure you, Virginia, it really is splendid. Compassionate, tender, scholarly, understanding. Everything a book should be, except one thing. Written.
Mm-hmm. Anne, stay and have a bite of dinner with us. George should be home soon.
Oh, thank you, but I can't. I must feed Sam. Have you heard anything more about Amsterdam? When do you go?
George isn't sure yet. Soon, I think.
Oh.
Why don't you feed Sam and come back afterwards?
No. No, anyhow, I have something that I want to do tonight. Or at least start to do. I think I'd better tell you what it is.
Yes?
I've decided to record everything I know about what's been going on. All the details. It's meant for the police.
Now, Anne...
No, 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 let me go on. It's to be a kind of journal. And if anything happens to me...
Don't be silly.
I shall leave it beside the tape recorder.
Nothing is going to happen to you.
Promise me you'll look for the cassette. I know. Breakfast. Just a minute.
Good morning, Anne.
Oh, Virginia.
Anne, I'm so sorry, but the Amsterdam trip is on.
Oh. When do you leave?
Tonight, on the late plane.
Oh, I see.
It's only for a couple of days. There hasn't been any sign of, you know, of him
yesterday. He left a book in the afternoon while I was at your house. And it was a copy of Elizabeth Barrett Browning's Sonnets from the Portuguese. And I think I heard him again last night.
Have you told the police?
Oh, what's the point? They only say the same thing, that he hasn't stolen anything or harmed me.
That'll be George. He's in a bit of a state this morning. You know he owns a pistol?
Yes.
Well, he can't find it. He wanted to lock it away while we were abroad. He's looked everywhere. He swears that it's been stolen.
Oh, how awful.
Yes, I must run. He wants to go to the village and tell Sergeant Robbins about it. I'm so sorry. Goodbye, Anne, dear.
Bye. To the police. I've done a dreadful thing. It was I who stole George's pistol. No, no, that's not true. I didn't steal it. I borrowed it. When I was over there yesterday and Virginia went to the kitchen to make tea, I took it. Yes, I took it. I've never killed anything in my life. I don't think I could even kill him. But if he broke in, I could point it at him. He might go away then if I pointed it. He might be afraid and go away and never come back. Poor Sam. Did I keep you awake last night with my twisting and turning? At least no one came.
He didn't come, did he? Oh, such a lovely day again. There couldn't possibly be evil here.
Dear Agnes, there are more birds today than ever. The trees are full of them.
What are they saying, I wonder? They've stopped. Why have they stopped? Birds, birds. Why have you stopped? Well, they never do that. They're looking up. What do they see? What do you see?
What is it up there? A speck, high in the sky. It's circling, it's a sparrowhawk. It's seen my birds. It's coming down. It's diving at them. Faster, faster, birds. Hide, hide. Go away. Go away, you little. Everything is rejecting us, Sam. Even the garden. No Virginia, no George. Only you and me and the birds. And him. What should we do? Go to the shops and buy provisions and lock ourselves in? Sit here in the shadows? Oh, no, that's cruel. You'd want to go out. No, I must think of something else. Yes. Yes, Elspeth, that's it. My niece in Scotland. Now, here's her telephone number.
Well, you like her, Sam, don't you?
Yeah, we'll have a holiday. And you shall have kippers for breakfast. Lovely adventure. Oh, dear. Oh, come on now, somebody answer. Hello. May I speak to Mrs. Munro, please? Well, she's away. On the continent. Oh, when will she be back?
3 weeks.
No. No, no message, thank you. Bye. Well, Sam, we must just make the best of each other. But what should we do? No, not the garden. We can't go out there. Not even when the sun is shining. Does he know that George and Virginia have gone away, I wonder? Does he know that it's only the two of us? Is he watching now? A fortress, Sam. That's what we'll have, a fortress. We'll strengthen our defenses, lock the windows, draw the curtains. He mustn't think we're at home. He won't come to an empty house. No, that's not right, is it? He came before when he saw my Browning books and the cottage was empty. Now, Sam, where did I put it? You know perfectly well what I mean, the thing. The thing that I stole. No, not stole. Borrowed. We're not thieves, you and I, are we? We're decent people. Trying to protect ourselves from the powers of darkness. That's what he is. A power of darkness. How strong is the lock on that door? I know. The writing table. We push that against the door. There. Now he can't get in even if he breaks the lock. He's so thin, Sam. So thick. Oh, no, 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 no. He won't come tonight. Will he? Not in the rain. Now, my report. I must keep my report up to date. To the police. May the 9th. Mr. and Mrs. Price have been gone for 2 days. I've spent the entire time indoors. I don't know if I can stand it much longer. There's been no sign of him so far, not once. But I am a little less afraid of him than I was because of, you know, George's pistol. I've loaded it. It lies beside the tape recorder as I speak. If he should try to enter, he will have to break in. And that is a criminal offense, isn't it, Sergeant? I haven't been able to sleep. I lie on my bed in the dark with my eyes open. I haven't eaten since Mr. and Mrs. Price went away. I can't eat, you see. But I fed Sam, of course. Rain is heavy outside. Air here is still and lifeless. He would. Surely, surely you think the house is empty.
Sam, get off the window sill. You're moving the curtains. You can see.
You, out there. Go away. I'll telephone the police. I've got a gun. I'll shoot you. Oh, my God. Go away. You can't come in. I warn you, I'll shoot. I can't stand you. Why don't you leave me alone? What do you want? Are you trying to drive me mad?
When you telephoned the police?
Yes, Sergeant. When I saw her lying there.
But what I don't understand is, why did she keep on knocking? Well, that's what seems to have terrified her.
Because when she said she had a gun, I was afraid she might hurt herself.
Oh, what were you doing in Miss Howard's garden at that hour?
I was going to leave her a letter and then to go away. But she heard me.
A letter?
Yes, here.
Oh. Dear Miss Anne, you don't know me, and now you never will. At first, when I saw that you were old, like me, and alone, like me, I thought we might make friends.
I never had a friend. I never knew how to talk to people. And then, when I saw you, I hoped this time it might be different. I thought if you wanted a reliable man to help you with the garden or to mend things, you might let me. Not for pay, but maybe you'd ask me in for a cup of tea sometimes. But then I realized it wouldn't be any good. What could you have to say to somebody like me? So I just came and watched you. At the beginning, you didn't know I was there. And just seeing an old fellow trudging up the road from the houseboats, you didn't take any notice. But I was always thinking about you. And I bought you the morning glory seeds because I knew you loved flowers. And then I saw you feed the birds, so I got you that book. And then, I don't know what came over me. One evening, when you were down in the orchard looking for your cat, I went into your house and I saw all your other books. But that morning when you called out to me, I knew I'd frightened you and I was sorry. So when I found that name in the bookshop, Browning, I thought maybe that would cheer you up. I'm writing this letter for two reasons. One is, I didn't mean to frighten you. And I'm sorry. The second is... maybe you'll laugh because old men aren't supposed to fall in love. But I did, Miss Anne. And when I knew I loved you, I knew it was all over. I did everything wrong. Please forgive me. You won't ever see or hear from me again.
Yours respectfully.
Sergeant, why did Miss Anne kill herself?
That was Celia Johnson as Anne, with Helen Minzi as Virginia, in Morning Glory by Charlotte and Dennis Plummer. Other parts were played by Timothy Bateson and Walter Hall. Technical presentation was by Keith Perrin. Appointment with Fear is produced and directed by Derek Hodinott.